You're listening to Cultivation Elevated, hosted by Michael Williamson and Anders Peterson, where we discuss vertical farming and the future of cannabis and food production.
What's growing on, Anders?
What's growing on, Michael? That's a nice intro.
Yeah. Welcome to season two of Cultivation Elevated. I know that you tagged along in season one when you could, and we were in the same town, and it was really nice to have a co-host. And so this year I'm excited to have you on all of the podcasts.
Yeah, man. It's always fun talking with you about this. It's like we're both passionate about it. We both have a lot of time in this industry, and happy to be here.
Nice. So you've been traveling quite a bit, and we're always kind of traveling quite a bit, but you've been traveling internationally quite a bit. So I would love to get a recap on Spanibus and kind of your experience there. And then I'd like to talk about some of the new legalization that's happened in Germany and what that means for the rest of the EU and the rest of the world, really.
Yeah, sure. Spanibus has been kind of a bucket list item for me personally for a long time, being a, you know, in cannabis for over half my life. And so personally, it was amazing to go there and just experience the social club scene in Barcelona before and after the actual Spanibus show. The culture there is amazing in terms of like the smoking culture and the growing culture. It very much reminds me of the Prop 215 days in California, where there's some unwritten rules, some gray areas, a lot of excitement around legalization and being able to consume safely. It's definitely not legal. So there's, you got to be careful, you know, going in and out of the clubs and walking around the street with cannabis on you, even smoking, you know, it's a lot safer to consume in the clubs. I will say the hash scene out there is amazing. Like, we have a great hash scene here in the Bay Area where I live in California, but man, that's a really cool hash scene out there. The Piatella by Uncle's Farm is definitely kind of the highlight a lot of the solventless guys are going for. And I was able to meet him and go to his club and smoke some of his Piatella hash, and it was some of the best hash I've had in years. I mean,
I know when you sent me that picture and you were like, I think this might be the best hash I've ever had. I was like, okay.
Well, it's, you know, rosin has become so commonplace these days, especially when it came out, I think in 2014, 15, people stopped smoking as much full melt bubble hash, you know, and rosin became just easier to consume in terms of being melt, being able to dab. And I still smoke full melt, but it's less common these days. Piatella, for those who aren't aware, is a full melt bubble hash solventless product. What makes Piatella unique is the curing process for it. So it's washed, you know, it's first wash, first pull, full melt, dried, and then it's put into a brick and wrapped in a cellophane paper and then vacuum sealed. That brick and cellophane paper is vacuum sealed so that the hash can cold cure with no oxygen. So the oxygen can cause degradation. And the high terpene content of good starting material, which is a requirement for all good solventless, essentially acts as a solvent and helps break down the trichome heads. Because that's always the issue with melt, right? Is with full melt, you have what I call the skin of the grape, you know, the cuticle on the trichome. Mm-hmm. And that adds char to the nail when you're dabbing it. And so this technique, Piatella curing technique, helps degrade that cuticle, that cellulose membrane. And it ends up being this almost saucy-like texture, and it melts very well. And because there's no heat
with no residue, right? In the nail?
Well, more than rosin would have, but less than most typical bubble hash. And it just has this amazing flavor profile that, like, literally, I woke up the next morning after taking a dab and I still tasted it in my mouth. Like, it coated my entire mouth with nice. So much flavor. And you just don't get that with rosin, because even really good rosin is still exposed to 140 degree Fahrenheit temperatures to press it. Bubble hash is not. So it's never been exposed to temperatures greater than what it was grown at in the grow room. So it was just, I mean, and it was definitely a big talk of Spanibus. And when you're out there, it's definitely a bucket list thing to do, is go to Uncle's Farm and try Piatella.
How long is that curing process where it's oxygen deprived typically?
It's a good question. I would say a lot of this technique is not public knowledge. You know, it's definitely guarded. But from what I can discern and from my conversations with folks, it's about 3 weeks.
Okay. And then what's like a gram go for on the spot market out there?
So anywhere from there's three different tiers. It was 75, 90, and 100 euro. And I would say probably there was a lot of good genetics out there. Apple fritter crossed with the BSE, the best shit ever. Mm-hmm. So that was sour best shit ever. So it's the garlic or the apple fritters crossed with sour best shit ever was probably my favorite, most unique profile. And then there was another one called, was it garlic onions or French onions? Something onions. That
some
was also
some kind of GMO cross.
GMO cross. And then he had a headbanger cross that was like,
oh, that's my favorite.
It was fire. So
from Karma Genetics.
Yeah. So all of that was just a really cool experience to see and just to experience the social clubs. It taught me a lot about kind of where Spain is at. And, you know, I will admit I felt a little bit of guilt as an American because Americans did not handle themselves well in that scene. I wish we were more respectful of the people who live there and the culture by kind of blowing it up on social media and being very, you know, taking that American consumer mindset and bringing it to Spain. It draws a lot of attention and heat on the people who live there and work in that community every day. And I think for those who may consider going to Spanibus in the future, as respectful as you can be entering and exiting those clubs, consuming on the street, being more discreet. I think legalization has spoiled us a bit here in the States where you got to still have that kind of low-key mentality out there. And the more attention you bring to these clubs and that scene, the harder it is for the people who live there and work there in the cannabis industry year round.
Yeah. And I'm, so, you know, that's it's bigger than cannabis too. That's just a cultural issue. As someone, as you know, most of my family lives in Italy and I spent a lot of summers backpacking and there is just this obnoxious American kind of demeanor that we just have very much cultural differences. And the sad thing is most of the Americans that fall into that category, they're completely aloof. They have not a clue that they're acting, you know, in a way that doesn't really align with the culture that they're in at that time, sadly.
Yeah. Yep. But for those who are interested in Spanibus, it's a wonderful week in Barcelona. I fell in love with the city and the people. Everyone was very friendly and nice. Essentially what happens during this week is Spanibus is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the week prior, there's a ton of events hosted at these social clubs. So a lot of different hash cups and flower cups and get togethers and, you know, competitions and parties and things. So it's worth the whole week there in Barcelona to spend Monday through Thursday going to these events. And then Spanibus throughout the weekend and all the kind of after parties that follow. So
I know you were repping your Pip hoodie. That's got a big Pip billboard sign that people can't see on your back right now. But that being said, it was really interesting to get your feedback of just how many people internationally are aware of Pip as a brand. But can you highlight some of those conversations for me?
I guess I shouldn't have been so surprised, but I was pretty surprised when, like, oh yeah, on the back of this hoodie, there's a big old Pip horticulture logo. And I'm walking around Spanibus or even around some of these social clubs and people are stopping me and being like, yo, do you use Pip racks? Or I go, I work for Pip, you know? And there was a lot of familiarity with the brand there internationally, which was really cool to experience, you know, just in general.
Pip, along with you and myself, we're going to be in Europe again. So if anyone is listening to this podcast in Europe or they're planning on attending a couple different events this summer, Anders, you're going to be in Berlin pretty soon.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I'll be in there April 15th through like 19th. I think the show is the 16th and 17th.
Yeah, for ICBC. And if there's any cultivators listening and you want to get some Pip attention, we're always interested in coming to see you and your operation, talking about what's going well, what's not going well. Or if you're planning an operation, you can always reach out to us as well. I'll be attending Green Tech in Amsterdam this summer. I'm not sure on the dates off the top of my head, so I won't try and pretend like I know them. But
it's mid-June.
You'll be able to. you'll be able to find us. We're going to be wearing a lot of big Pip swag, and we'll have some swag to give out as well. So if you see anyone wearing some Pip gear at any of these events this summer in Europe, you know, feel free to tap us on the shoulder and say what's up. We look forward to talking with you.
Yeah, we'll have a booth at both shows, and we'll have a big team there, big presence there. So come by. We're happy to chat.
So Anders, I know you had a great personal experience in Barcelona. Talk to me a little bit about the event itself, maybe the vendors there, the general kind of energy and vibe, and what people were thinking and talking about.
Yeah, Spanibus. The best way to describe it is it's a blend of MJ BizCon and Emerald Cup, if people have been to those events. So it's partially B2B and B2C as well. So unlike MJ BizCon, people are smoking everywhere. Unlike Emerald Cup, you can't buy actual weed there. You can bring it in and you can consume openly, but there's not vendors selling weed at booths or at cash. But you know, there's a lot of consumers there openly smoking. It was a great vibe. Lots of music. Huge event. I mean, I don't know the actual attendance number, but it was more crowded than almost any. It was bigger than almost any cannabis event I've ever been to. Tens of thousands of people, shoulder to shoulder, walking around the event. And everyone was very friendly and nice, good vibes everywhere. The exhibitors, there was tons of them. I mean, hundreds of booths, a mix. I would say the main attraction is the seed vendors.
I was going to say, they might not be selling hash and flower, but they're definitely selling seeds.
I mean, as a genetics nerd myself, and I know you are too, I had to have a lot of self-control to not spend my entire paycheck on seeds while I was there. I mean, more seed vendors than I've ever seen in one place. I mean, every breeder you can imagine, a huge selection of genetics. That's what a lot of growers were there for. And then there was quite a few equipment vendors, more and more so in the recent years of Spanibus and in the past. Lots of paraphernalia too.
Trying to think, there's usually like multiple breeders in a tent. They'll kind of like collab in the tent, or, you know, get under someone's umbrella. I went to Spanibus, it was either 10 or 11 years ago, and I went for seeds, and it was back when we were running Kind Love, and I went on the seed hunt mission, right? And so that was my number one goal. And I got there, and this is, mind you, this is a decade ago, it was all auto flowers. And at the time I was like, oh no, like that doesn't help me in the States for production at this time. And it was back when auto flowers, especially from the United States perspective, had a kind of a black eye. And they just, you know, weren't what they are today. Today, auto flowers are completely commercially viable in a lot of different solutions. Were there a lot of auto flowers, or was it a mix of, you know, everything?
Mix of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, a mix of everything. I would say the big talk around that this year was a lot of the American seed breeders coming through and distributing hop latent viroid, or at least that was a concern and a talk. I think there's a need to have breeders be more responsible in hop latent viroid testing to make sure it's not passing through to seed and spreading it internationally, because you know how these plant viruses and viroids go. It's, you got to control the spread. I mean, that's why there's agricultural checkpoints all over the world. And then the spread of these botanical goods from country to country, state to state, to prevent spreads of pathogens like this. And so I definitely think that was an issue, and there's no real way to regulate that other than being personally responsible and ethical about it. So that was definitely a concern. But it was just so cool to see. I mean, name a breeder, they were there.
Yeah,
I got to see our buddy Scott Reach from Rare Dankness. We had a great conversation. You saw the compound guys there, Humboldt Seed Co. I got to meet some really cool new breeders I never met before. Kush Brothers Seeds from Barcelona. They hooked me up with a bunch of genetics, which was really nice of them. So shout out Kush Brothers. Everyone was there.
You bring up a good point that people who are listening to this might not be aware of, because a lot of people who are starting new facilities, specifically in emerging states, are like, oh, I'm starting from seed because I want to have a clean start.
Yeah.
There are some people out there that do not realize that you can spread pathogens and viroids through seed. So if the parental stock is infected and you make offspring or seeds of that, that stuff can translate right through. So really, when it comes to starting clean from seeds, you can pretty much guarantee that you're not going to have any pests But in terms of disease and virus, you're still at risk. So if you're starting a new facility and you're starting 100% from seed, knowing your breeder or having some connection to this and also testing for these things, because it's not, you know, you can spread stuff through seed. And I think a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of this. And if they are, they've just become aware of this in the last year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a concern.
One thing I remember from Spanibus, and granted, things have elevated quite a bit, but I remember the first time I went, and this was kind of before MJ BizCon was even existed. But it was, you know, our early days of trade shows, and they were kind of dodgy in the States. Like the booths weren't really elaborate. It was just like kind of bare bones. But I remember going to Spanibus, and the booths were beautiful. There was so much custom, everything from woodwork. I mean, there was so much like custom millwork. And I just remember being like, wow, I know that Europeans are more stylish than a lot of Americans in some
cases.
Especially myself.
I was wearing this and everyone else looked way nicer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I felt underdressed.
That being said, I was like, wow, for having like this kind of underground scene here, I mean, the way that they present their businesses and their booths, I mean, it was elegant and beautiful. And yeah, that kind of modern, sleek kind of thing going on. And I remember coming back to going to a trade show in the States and being like, this place is a dump, you know, and these booths are dodgy looking. So I can only imagine it's only elevated since then. And we have seen, you know, obviously now in the States, the booths are pretty elaborate, but I still think Europe in terms of style has got a one up on us and probably always will.
You nailed it. Yeah, this is the 14th year of Spanibus. The show has grown exponentially.
It's been in the same place, I think, right?
Same place, yep. Fiera Cornella, which is like an event center out just right outside of Barcelona. And yeah, the booths were beautiful. It was elaborate. I think it's like a 3 to 5 year waiting list to even exhibit there as an exhibitor because it's so sought after. I mean, like I said, it's one of the biggest cannabis events in the world. I mean, MJ BizCon, Spanibus, CannaFest in Czech Republic and Prague. You know, those are some of the bigger events in terms of people attending. But hey, just wait till you go to Green Tech in Amsterdam. Those booths and that event was beautiful as well. Some great stuff there, great companies, but not purely cannabis. It's just a high-tech horticulture show.
Yeah, but, I remember you said that you had a lot more elevated conversations with growers at that show, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the Dutch are amazing growers, I'll tell you that.
Yep, cool.
But yeah, overall, great experience in Barcelona and at Spanibus. I got to meet some wonderful people, some great growers, and yeah, excited to come back.
Nice. All right. Well, we hope to see everyone else there next year. Don't be a stranger if you ever see Anders and I out. We love to chat cannabis 8 days a week. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.